And I wish I never met you. Even though you watch Beef and Wine Shenanigans. Sorry. Anyway, hey, hi everybody. Beef, Wine and
Hey.
Shenanigans minus Kirk Johnson and me in a badly lit hotel room. And we'll get into why I am in a dimly lit hotel room. And unfortunately, it's not for a reason that I would want to be in a hotel room. But hey, so Denise Tapscott and Mark Johnson are here with me, Stephen Van Patten,
Mark
aka
Johnson.
Jesse
He
Goody.
did say Mark
What
Johnson.
did I say?
He Mark Johnson.
Oh shit. Mark F.
Ayo.
Oh shit. Okay. All
Mark
right.
Johnson.
Mark Abbott, the in the very
Professor.
well-known professor, storyteller, cat. Wow, that's a fuck up. Anyway,
Oh,
all right, so Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans
well.
with the three of us. I actually like Denise being on this side of me. Oh my God, that's
Oh,
kind of
my.
cool. So when last we left our intrepid podcast heroes, we were talking about a movie that I had only seen.
Right. And how old were
Brave.
you when you saw
Oh shit, I don't know. Maybe.
Because it came out like in.
younger than 10.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Younger than 10, and that's all I'm
Okay.
gonna say.
That's
Younger than
fair.
10. Because the movie came out in 72, right?
Yeah.
And I know it was Channel 9 back in the day for those of,
Oh.
but those New Yorkers that, want to date yourselves. Anyway, Grave of the Vampire, the and I kind of explained, I want to say I kind of explained the premise. So now Denise and Mark went off on their own
We
and they
did.
watched it.
Yeah.
To be fair, we're friends. We
Yes,
don't
we
just host a podcast show together.
are.
We're actually friends.
Right, we're
And
besties.
the group chat that when the two of them finally, these two finally watched the movie, are all together around the same time, not exactly at the same time, but
Right,
definitely
Mark started it first, so then I was
around the
like, well,
same
damn, now I
time.
gotta watch it too.
And to be and to be clear, the reason I'm in alone in a hotel room in the first place is because I'm working the VMAs. For those of you
Yay.
that are don't know what that means the Video Music Awards at MTV, and I am in New Jersey.
Wow.
All alone, all by
Oh.
myself.
To
Don't wanna be
be
all
all
by
by
myself
myself.
anymore. Yet I am. Anyway, so all right, here I am. This is weird. I almost feel like this, because I'm in a hotel room. It almost feels like some OnlyFans shit. Anyway,
To me, it looks more like a horror story. Like someone could like pop up behind you and be like, "Oh, hi, you."
better not. I'll fuck them up.
I know.
Anyway,
I
exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Denise. I appreciate it.
You're
No, but seriously. So, oh yeah, I got my switchblade here and the whole shit. I'm good. I'm
welcome. I know
super
you
good.
do.
Look at this. Look at. Anyway, so these two watched Grave of the Vampire, which we were talking about last week.
That's
And
right.
all right, so fine. All right, let the roasting begin. Go ahead. Come on, talk
Okay, what
about
I
it.
would like to say first and foremost is that we're not going to blame you because you already warned us about it. So we're not like digging in you.
I'm saying thank you. All right.
It's like the movie itself, like the premise is actually interesting and they could actually remake it and do a way better job, but the premise itself was interesting, I thought.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
You know, it is funny because that was not my intention to watch it. I was just kind of like, because I got Tubi, and I was just thumbing through stuff, and I happened to go to Grave, and it was like Grave of the Bat. I was like, oh wait, it's on here. I was like, all right. So I checked IMDb, and it was on. I had two choices. I could either watch it on, no, three. Watch it on Prime, watch it on Tubi, or watch it on MGM, which I have. And but I was like, no, I'm gonna watch it on Tubi because it's got like commercials. Because I'm gonna need a minute at least to kind of to gather. And the thing was, so 70s vampire films had a very particular air about them, particularly the openings. And I have to admit, the makeup was amazing.
It was good.
I could see myself as a kid watching this and being frightened, and just the whole premise.
Definitely.
And I think
Definitely.
if I had seen it as a kid, much like all of the stuff that we've watched when we were growing up, when you saw them, they were scary. It made sense to you. You know, you get older, you get more into storytelling and plot and everything else and structure. Then you're like, oh, for Christ's sake, you
Especially
know,
as a
like,
writer.
and it was one of those things where Mystery Science Theater again, you sit there,
Definitely, definitely.
and I started it, and I text the group, and I'm like, I'm watching this thing, and this is the most violent vampire. Like, he did things that made no sense to me for the sake of violence, cutting somebody's throat with a knife. He slammed the crypt down on a cop. I was like,
I didn't prepare. Okay, so admittedly, I didn't prepare you guys for the
but
cop thing.
the claw hammer to the woman in the basement, which I was like, what do you need tools for?
Fire. You should be strong enough already.
But I will say this, that scene in the basement, when they just show him standing there, when she comes down and she sees him like bathed in that light, and he's just not moving and not saying anything, I was like, okay, that's a little unnerving, you know. But then it just like there were things that just made no sense. First of all, Denise catching the fact that the actress playing his mother was called the reluctant mother.
In the credits, it said the reluctant mother.
And at the same time, we both were like, that's the person at Comic-Con who's sitting at the table, and you walking by, you're like, I've seen you in something. I was in Grave of the Vampire. You're the reluctant mother.
That'll be $20.
Exactly. But it was like things Denise caught that I completely like because she was behind. You were about maybe 30 minutes behind me.
Well, I,
Because
yeah, because you started watching it, and I was like, well, damn, I gotta watch it now.
and because I had like these breaks, you ended up kind of catching up to me a little faster because you would be going straight through.
Yeah, I watched on Amazon
So
Prime straight through.
there was this. The woman gets pregnant, and like, what, not even 10 minutes after that, she's giving birth, and we have no context of time has passed. I
No,
mean,
like
not
moments
even,
before, the
oh,
doctor's like,
Mark,
the baby's
you only got
it's not
2 hours.
living.
What?
Yeah,
I
but like there
mean,
could have been some kind of transition.
some
Like
kind of
one
trade.
minute the doctor's like, you need to have an abortion. She's like, I will not have an abortion. I was like, wow, they're very proactive. I mean, pro-life, which is cool. I'm
But
having this
wait,
baby. No doctors. So like she's like,
my favorite is the fact that the detective, straight up from the get-go, was like, "Yeah, this is a vampire." It's like he was like, "You're not. This ain't
but
gonna
the
be a
other guys
long."
ask him all these questions, and he's like,
Like, you go, wait, my favorite
There
is
was no
like,
blood.
he goes, you go around telling people it was a vampire, you lose your job,
You
you're gonna
lose
lose
your
your
job.
pension. I was like, why is
What
everybody always
about your
losing?
wife? Right.
I was like, why is the pension always on the table in these
Pension is
movies?
always on the table, always. And the guy that interrogated, like the drunk guy, they gave him like $2 or something after they talked to him. I'll see you at the church as well, he said.
I'm like, he's like, told the doctor. He's like, yeah, we think that the thing that happened to this woman, and he's like, I'm a medical doctor. I don't believe in such thing. Then he
Yes.
turn around and tell the woman that what's growing inside of you is dead.
Yes.
And I'm like,
And she's like, I will not have an abortion. And then the other lady who's sharing like the space with her, she's like, come with me. I was like,
the
well, why
random
was she in the hospital? Olga.
Olga came out of nowhere. She was in bed one day. The next day, she was like, get Olga. And I was like, who the hell is Olga? And then Olga comes in. I'm like, okay. And you are who? Because
No
no
backstory, none.
backstory. No.
But now she's having the baby. She's like, this is Jason's baby. Wow. Okay. And she's like 9 months pregnant. She's going into labor.
Let's back up for a minute. I was like, well, that's the fastest copulation I've ever seen. Because if he got her knocked out before he got jumped by the vampire in the car, who literally, I can't even start work without coffee. And this vampire woke up from a 60-year sleep and already had the strength of 20 men.
No blood in the
No
system, right?
blood in the
He's beneath
system,
the
no
glory.
nothing.
But in all fairness, Mark, you are not a vampire.
But most of our vampires wake up, they go look for something to eat first, they get their
Not just
nerve.
whoop ass right away.
I mean, damn.
See,
I mean,
you know what? That's that underworld shit. Y'all are spoiled.
wait, hold
Y'all are
on.
spoiled by that underworld shit.
Even hold on, hold on. Even Dracula in the Demeter brought food with him
Yes,
for
he
his
did.
long
Yes,
voyage.
he did. Oh my
Oh
God.
my
And now we gotta get into
God. He
that. All
did bring
right.
food,
He had
and they
food with
broke
him.
the seal.
He was like,
So
I'm gonna be a while. It's
I'm gonna
gonna
be a
take me a minute.
while.
I'm gonna need a little something to snack
But the
on.
food got
Sustenance.
away in the Demeter, to be fair and
Right. That's what
honest
woke
and
him up.
true.
He's like, oh, that's my food.
My food
What's going
gone.
on? They broke the seal. What
The food
the
rebelled. The food rebelled and it shit
hell?
got fucked up. Anyway, Demeter, Grave of the Vampire, two completely different kind of things. Go, continue, continue. I'm just gonna sit here and enjoy
So let's see. So now we have the montage scene, or thereof, of the
Right.
boy of the little vampire boy
Yeah.
out in the playground.
He's such a
Yeah.
little vampire boy.
He was.
Out in the playground, he grew up. Mom dies, and in his
And she was all
voiceover,
old and gray and wrinkly, which is weird because there's only like 5 or 6
she's
years.
feeding him blood,
She's
guys.
only
That's, he's been feeding him blood.
like, she should be
So
all gray and okay, go
Olga
on.
is gone because we don't know whatever
Gone.
happened to
No
Olga.
idea what happened to Olga.
He mentions, I've been chasing this man. I've been following him around.
Yes,
So
around the world.
around the world,
Around the
a
world.
man with no job has
Yes,
followed
must
him
be
around.
nice. Can I just say,
Yes.
before y'all can be, so as a dude that never knew his actual biological father,
Yeah.
watching this shit, I was mad fucking traumatized, but I absorbed it, I
Oh.
pulled it in, and I made it what it was. Okay, that's all I had to say. Continue.
Okay, wait. But I have a question. Did you know any information at all about your biological father? Like
No.
anything?
I know more about my
Because like
biological father now because my half brother found me on ancestry.com than I ever fucking knew.
Oh, okay. Because in this go,
And
yeah, go
yes,
ahead.
we're giving our audience now way more shit than I
Oh,
actually
no.
ever intended, but it's fine. Go
Right.
ahead, continue.
Because in this movie, like Jason, I think that's his name was, not Jason, like the vampire boy, he like knew everything about his supposed like father. Like, I've been chasing this man through countries and around
But again,
the
you
world
only have
for
2 hours.
years upon years.
You only
Yeah,
have
but like,
2 hours.
how did
You
he know
got.
that his mom was raped? How did
But
he know?
wait,
Well, mom probably broke some shit down to him,
I
and
don't know, because
I don't know, but
he
it was
said
too much.
He was always one step up. His father was always one step
One
ahead
step
of him.
ahead of him.
Yes.
So
to me,
there was a
that's
part.
like some Van Helsing shit. It's like, I get to Budapest, he just left. I get here, he just left.
Yeah.
On and on and on. Anyway, I'm sorry.
But
go ahead.
So now he comes, he circumvents the globe and comes right back to where he started.
Right where he
right.
started.
To teach night school.
Yes.
As Denise pointed out, in the subject he knows nothing about.
Subject he knows nothing about. He's talking about goofer dust, but he's like, and it's only blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, that's not goofer dust at all. How are you teaching? You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Then I had to feel some kind of way because.
You had to feel some kind of way.
And
right,
he was
okay.
bitter
Now,
about
hold on,
it,
hold on,
too.
hold on. Because first, I sign up for your class.
Yeah.
I show up, there's no seats. You
Right.
tell me. We got no seats in this class, so those of you standing need to leave.
You have to leave. But I just paid my
$50. But I paid my $195 to get me in this
to
class.
Be in this class.
And
You gonna make
and
me just
then
leave?
and then insults the people who are there. Cause he's like, some of you are teachers, some of you are bus drivers, some of you work in restaurants,
yes.
And you took your piddlings to come and be in this class. I'm sorry.
Okay. I just wanted to learn something.
including a guy who is technically your son, but in no time when you looked at this guy, did you go, huh? He looks a little familiar to me.
His nose looks a little.
Not saying he got to look like me, but you know,
a little bit.
All right, you know what?
Did I meet your mama?
Some kind of familiarity here.
And hold on, hold on. And I gotta say this.
Oh Lord.
He did not hand out. I'm sorry. What kind of teacher doesn't hand out a syllabus? I'm
no
sorry.
Syllabus.
No syllabus. No syllabus.
He didn't
put
his name on the chalkboard.
You call yourself a night school teacher. Wrote his name on the chalkboard. No syllabus. No, no. We
yeah,
don't
okay.
even know what
Look,
we learned.
Here's the thing.
When's a pop quiz? I don't even.
As an abandoned only child, I can't speak to the whole. What I look like, what I, you know, so, and again, I don't even say this. I don't say this as like, I need people to like send me fucking sympathy and whatever the fuck. I'm saying this as somebody who watched that movie and was like, okay, it's a vampire movie. I'm mildly triggered. But at the same time,
right.
You know, I get the whole. I get the whole not being seen thing.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
Okay. So now, the two other ladies in this class who I still couldn't figure this whole situation out.
Mm-hmm.
one, I guess, is a witch. The other one is, I don't know.
Like, one was stalking
stupid.
The professor.
Okay. And granted,
stalking the professor.
And granted, maybe
and the
stupid
other was
witch,
like,
but go ahead.
Right, not smart. And the other one, the professor is crushing on her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was that her room? That was her roommate. That was her roommate.
Yes, yes, that was the roommate.
That was her roommate. But she was older. She was an older woman. Yeah,
yes.
Which I thought was kind of weird too.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
So now, in between all of this, you have the random woman in the park who.
Right!
Who was like, I'm enamored by you, and then
it's
breaks
nighttime,
a bottle,
and she's like, hey,
breaks a
up?
Bottle, and is like ready to stab him.
Right. She's like, oh, I'm not good enough for you. So she walks away, and then he pops up, and then she breaks a bottle. It's like, but you were just hitting on this man 2 minutes ago, and now you want to cut him?
Now, you know what? We
you
need
like
to
know. Like
this now needs to be an investigation about vampire lore.
Gotcha.
Because maybe old, bitter vampires make human females want to come on to them and then get mad when they're rejected. Because see, that happened twice. That happened with the chicken.
No, I think it's just that
and the library. And then
right.
And then what killed me is that he got mad at her because he was like, well, wait, you made me think you were going to give me the book. Now you're not going to give it to me. And I was
now
like,
you're not going to give me the book?
I missed something here. What just
can I? Can
he's
I?
Not a regular vampire. Not a regular vampire.
Can I?
Yes.
Of course.
As someone who has had more time to think about this than either of you, at the end of the day, I think the person that wrote the script did not like women.
I mean, if I had to pinpoint
on every discrepancy about this movie, and again, the reason I even brought it up was because of some random shit that Kirk said. Even though, technically, I should have brought the, because of its, I don't know, historic relevance, let's say, I should have brought this to y'all's attention earlier. Or some point when I first met everybody, or I don't know. But
oh, no.
Grave of the Vampire is, for me, it's kind of quintessential, but because I saw it as a kid, because I saw it at a time when mom's working, the alcoholic degenerate stepfather is full blown asleep. I'm up in the middle of the night when I'm supposed to be sleeping and getting ready for school.
Right.
And then I sneak around, turn on the television, and there this fucking movie is. And it's a fucked up movie, even in the edited for TV version. It's fucked up. So forget when I finally go get the DVD and sit down and like,
You got the DVD? Oh, my star.
Yeah.
The DVD is at my mom's.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I just put it, I classify it as like just one of those classic 70s movies. Yeah. But they're gonna be trash.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
They could totally redo it.
I think when we look at it now from this comedic aspect of it, I mean, I'm not serious about half this crap because I know that there were things to just get. The premise of the movie was just to get it from point A to point B. It really wasn't a situation where we had to dissect. It was not a dissecting movie. It wasn't something you know, I had to watch this movie for film school and I had to break it down. And this and I think that's what makes it so funny, because it's like when you look at these old 70s films, particularly the blaxploitation films. Yeah. I mean you could drive a truck through the plot holes of Blackula. I'll go a step back. Go back to the original Mummy film from Universal. Oh. There's a scene in there where Hotep comes to the professor's office. And the professor, this is when you figure out he is the mummy. And he goes, if I could, I would break your rotten neck. And then they go to this shot of the mummy staring at him. He goes, but you're too powerful. And I'm like, what?
Oh!
It's almost like,
hey, do that again.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need to recognize the fact that Kirk Johnson has joined us.
Yay!
Hello, audience. Hello, beautiful people of the world. I'm sorry. Please, Mark, continue with the
the mummy and the professor.
And I'm like, but I'm like, what kind of you sound like you was about to throw down, and then you just like, be here, but you're too powerful.
You're too powerful.
So you have like,
reminded me.
Like Denise said, one of the worst lovemaking scenes ever put on film.
Oh yeah, like she has her hand like on his chest. Yeah.
The grave of the vampire.
Yeah.
So she has her hands on his chest, and he's like, oh. I'm like, your hands here. This is not an erogenous zone. What's going on? And somehow she still got pregnant. It wasn't Jason's baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
It,
Well, every time the women scream, wow, like, we know who baby.
We know who baby. But like, she was just like so adamant. I was like, do you know what first base is?
And maybe that was the thing. Maybe it was, like you said, the time period. Mm-hmm.
Constraints of that, censorship.
No. It could have been simply like she can't admit that it's not Jason. Like she got raped. Mm-hmm. So she does not want to admit that she's carrying the rapist child.
Mm.
And that could have been the whole reason why she kept adamantly saying it's Jason's, because, you right. know, because, right. I mean, they don't tell us. Did they ever say where this movie is set?
No.
So,
not to my knowledge. Right.
You can imagine the time period. And
well, I'm thinking because of where it might have been. I don't know if it was. Well, nobody had a Southern accent. So mm-hmm. I was under the impression it was in California. For some strange reason, but
you know what? Yes, I feel like that's right.
So
I feel like,
you know,
that's right.
Depending on where you grew up, you know, you grew up in a small Southern town, and something like this happened.
Small,
you know,
town. Sorry,
there it is.
There
he
it
did.
Is.
So then, here, okay. So now we've got that going. So then we have. This for whatever reason, which is never clearly explained, why he decides he wants his wife. He was at some point he reveals that he was looking for his wife or somebody looked like his wife.
Yes.
So he decides, I'm gonna hold a seance out of the blue. Never, there was no lead up to that. You know, it was like this thing happened, and then the next thing everybody's at his house. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. You know, and I was like, when did you buy a house? Like, it's like,
but I mean, he's a certain age vampire. He may have already owned the house. And I'm not making excuses for plot holes.
It might be on the books, but, for the city. Right. So, yeah. So
he inherited it.
Signed off by WWW Redfield.
So he has this, wait. Rule number one in writing. We all know this rule. In the third act, you don't start introducing new people. Yet here we got a white dude with an afro show up who hasn't been in the movie at all. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to join y'all for the seance because I believe that there's a vampire in the midst. I'm like, what? So I think the most comedic part of this, the part that really was him fighting his son. And his son breaks through the door and picks him up and throws him. First, the look on his face, realizing somebody could toss him across the room, was comedic because he's like, wait, what? Was right. What? And I was like, all right, this is great. And then the son, there was a line that he delivers, which was so horrible. I was like, oh, you just took me out of the scene. I was there. And then he says something to the effect of, you raped my mother, this at the end of it. And classic. He looks at him and goes, ah, this is like, oh, now you know who I am. And then, you know, we have the tussle, we have the unchoreographed, because I told Denise this. I'm like, this scene was not choreographed.
No.
This looks like the director was like, look, I ain't got no money to pay a fight choreographer. So y'all just fight and I'll record this. Cause they were throwing each other down the stairs and all kinds of stuff. And then,
yeah, and it did. Just to interject real quick, didn't like it look like there were any stunt doubles? Like,
no,
like it was the actual actors.
These are the actual actors. There was like a scene where he picked him up and tossed him over the rail, the banister.
Yeah,
he went tumbling down the stairs, and I'm like, something tell me when they yell cut, he was like, all right, you know what, That's it. Y'all ain't paying me enough to throw me down a flight of stairs.
But Mark,
that's like the prop master forgot that, yo, we need a drop dummy. no choreography, no stuntmen. We should have a drop dummy.
But
why do we need a drop dummy?
But ultimately, that might have been where the line came from. Whatever he hits, he destroys. Nice.
But you know what? You just made, see, Kirk, you made me think of Burt Reynolds when they did Deliverance. So apparently in the movie, there's that scene where he goes over the waterfall.
Yeah.
And Burt Reynolds wanted to do the stunt. And they had a dummy that they were going to throw over the waterfall. Yeah. And the guy was like, there's sharp rocks and stuff down. Entity, you need to let me go over the side of this waterfall. And he's like, but we have a prop dummy to do that so that you don't hurt yourself. And he said, but it's not going to look real. So he does the stunt, busts up his shoulder. And then he asked the director, he's like, how'd it look? He said, like a dummy going over the waterfall.
Oh my God, I never knew that story. That's hilarious.
It was brilliant. Like a dummy going with a waterfall. Oh, damn.
Oh my God.
But then we finally get to the end of the film.
Yes.
Dude kills a vampire. And then somehow, because again, I don't know where the writer got his information about how vampires work, because I'm going to tell you this. What I thought was happening.
Yes.
What I thought was happening when he stabbed the vampire in the end,
mm-hmm.
I thought he was dying because of the fact, because the vampire lore, if you kill the head one, everybody, you're supposed to go back to being normal or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I thought that's what was happening. I didn't realize.
So you thought the son was going to die, which actually would kind of make sense.
Like I thought, that's why he was in pain. Mm-hmm. But apparently this scene predates Lamb. And what we get at the end is the son turns into a vampire.
Hashtag things then, I'm never going to hear the end of, but all right.
And then starts creeping up the stairs and the movie ends. And I'm sitting there like, when that happened, I heard my father, because my father was famous for us watching movies where they ended like that back in the 70s, and he goes, this bullshit. The hell is this? All that to say, it was a hell of an entertaining night to watch. And it was Denise and I texting back and forth. All I kept thinking was like, I could only imagine what her and Kirk were like, because they were actually watching it on screen together.
Right.
And I were texting back and forth, like, what in the hell? And I'm like, I don't know.
And so to give everybody that listens to this some context, right? So again, getting back to the fact of why is Steven in a hotel room? I'm working the VMAs. I'm working the red carpet.
I thought you were about to say you were searching for your vampire father. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
I was about to say, you sure you want to talk about this stuff right now on the podcast?
No, you're about
to commit murder, bro.
So here's the thing. That nigga's dead.
Oh, okay.
My biological father is dead.
Are you sure?
I'm very sure.
Okay.
Because my my half brother that found me on ancestry.com has broken that news to me. Not to bring the room down, but
right.
So yeah, none of that applies to me. I am in Jersey City in a actually rather a nice hotel.
Nigga, you had a Motel 6 because of blinking in the background.
No, that's the TV. The reflex on the television.
I thought that, oh, yeah, like, the TV.
I thought it was like someone on the door. Like, no, it's
just some shit like that. Like,
and I didn't even realize that. That's saving kind of money.
We'll leave the light on for you.
Yeah, it's like a the whole trailer thing. The man, we're saving money. No, I'm actually, Kirk, to be sure, I'm actually in a Westin.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Y'all don't shut the fuck up now. Okay.
Oh! So,
they can't put you in a DoubleTree?
That's by Wyndham, man. That's not Westin.
That's the Wyndham. Right.
That's a Wyndham.
Clearly, Kirk doesn't know the hierarchy of hotels. And that's fine.
Not.
You don't. Obviously, really you don't. Know. I said Westin, nope. And you still had jokes. The point is, so here I am. The pre-show for the VMAs, and we had the day off, but here I am. Whatever. Who cares?
Which we appreciate. So it's good to see you, man.
Yeah. Sure. So
it's true.
I'm relying on hotel Wi-Fi to get us through this episode. What else can I tell you? I don't know. So here's the thing. Like we all discussed, I was talking about Grave of the Vampire last episode. Yes. And they've all watched it. And for whatever it's worth, I don't know. I guess you guys kind of enjoyed it. Okay. Look, here's the thing. Grave of the Vampire for me.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it. But he was like...
It's 1972, first of all. And like I said, it's fucking Michael Pataki. Whatever he hits, he destroys. Right, like I gave you guys all the it. Like, if you wanted to do it, fine. Mm-hmm. If you didn't want to do it, fine.
Right.
I gave you all the precursor I could possibly give you.
You did. You were very thorough. You were from
thank
start
you.
To finish.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you. The lady.
You did not say it was the same production company that did like the Hell's Angels in Vietnam. Should have told us that.
Oh shit.
The same production team that brought you Hell's Angels and Surf.
A Quentin Martin production.
Werewolf on Wheels, 1973.
I didn't give you that shit. Anyway, long story short, it's a horror movie that thrilled and yet traumatized me as a child.
Yeah,
but it was something that I. But it was honestly, it was something that I never really talked about. Mm-hmm. Like Mark and I probably talk about obscure shit more than I do with any other human being.
Yeah,
which is why I ended up traumatizing Mark with Galaxy of Terror.
See, you know what? I don't get mad. See, here's the thing. I don't get mad at Steven when he tells me certain things and I go down a rabbit hole and decide I'm gonna go and risk my life and watch these things. Because it's part curiosity. Because I'm like, well, how first part of it is like, how well did it hold up? That like and when I watched this thing, because he talked about this woman getting violated by a space worm. And I'm like,
oh no.
And I'm looking, I was like, a what? And so I saw it on Prime one night. I was like, all right, let me watch. And I literally was like, when we got to that point, I was like, oh, for Christ's sake, this held up way too damn good, Dennis. Shut up.
Oh, wow.
So now I'm texting Steven, like, thanks a lot. I'm not gonna be able to sleep tonight.
But
that's the nastiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
But But here's the problem. I saw it as a 12-year-old playing hooky.
Oh.
Okay. So if Marcus fucked up as a grown ass man with a wife and a child,
and
living a full blown Cosby show life in Brooklyn. Imagine me for a hot second. Oh yeah, Aaron, what's her face from Happy Days is in this and da 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 da. And it's the most sadistic, fucked up thing that anybody could have ever seen.
Like, wow.
Like, and forget the woman being raped by the giant worm, which, and I'm not, you know, oh my God, it's like, I don't even like to watch, like when I used to watch Oz, I used to feel like I needed a shower after certain episodes.
Wow.
Like, holy shit. No, no, no. Grogu. No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no,
no, no. It was like, yeah, it's not my thing per se, but every once in a while, because at the end of the day, certain kinds of horror are left in charge of people outside of Black folks. And I'm just going to say it like that. And because of that, every once in a while, and here's something I'll throw up. Ninja Scroll. Old school anime situation.
Oh.
Which involves elements of that kind of thing. And and granted, Ninja Scroll.
Legend of Overfiend, you didn't think of that one?
Oh,
fuck. Dude, don't bring that up.
Uh-oh, la 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 la.
Well, I know. Damn, Kirk.
Is that bad?
Kirk.
I'm sorry.
If I really wanted to fuck people up, which I don't, I mean, obviously, I know about the Serbian film. You know, Human Centipede, which I have never watched, by the way. And I'm not going to watch. And honestly, all right,
yeah, I don't like that kind of horror.
Here's
joke.
The thing.
Yeah, that whole,
and here's like, the thing. And, I don't like it. And here's my thing about all of that. Yes, I am a horror sci-fi dude, but I don't hate people enough to co-sign on things like Human Centipede, Serbian film, things like that. And the thing is, I rock with folks, and like every once in a while I'll be at their crib and they'll be like, oh my God, you haven't seen the Serbian film? I have the Serbian film. I actually want to turn it on right now just to see your reaction to the Serbian film.
No.
It's kind of folks I hang out with sometimes. And I'm just like, I'm good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm okay. And I it's like, I'm the kind of person that watches an alien burst out of somebody's chest in 1979 and honestly say to myself, I don't dislike people enough that I would have thought of that. You know what I mean? And not that I don't enjoy the movies, and not that, and oh my God, Aliens, Vasquez, and all of that. Like, that's some amazing shit. Once you fucking wrap your head, no pun intended, around the concept of, you know, the whole gestation thing popping out of my chest, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, and honestly, that to a degree, I have, it's my personal experience that there is a couple of different types of horror. There is the I mm-hmm. hate the world, so here it is. And then there's mm-hmm. the I dislike certain things about the world, but
yeah.
I'm gonna write something that has some hope at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, but like how... I like the supernatural horror, and I like the nature is gonna get the humans kind of horror. Mm-hmm. I don't like the human versus humans horror. That I don't. Unless it's like Jack the Ripper stuff, but that's still different than like right. Hostel. I don't like that stuff. A big pass for me.
Yeah.
Right. No, I get that. And I get that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is like much of the things that I saw as a kid was because, you know, we watch mainstream horror and we always used to be like, let's test our limit. How far are we going to go in certain things? And I knew mm-hmm. that like one of the reasons why I never watched for years as a teenager, I never watched any of the Living Dead films because I was like, I don't want to see people being eaten. You know, used to hear that story. The one scene I always heard was, did you see Dawn of the Dead when the dude bit the chunk out of the woman's shoulder? You know, you have an image of that in your head and you're like, you know, and then you see it and it's like, oh, crap. And then it just progressively, you know, now I look at it, I'm like, all of that stuff looked like y'all went down to Home Depot, got some red paint, dumped some stuff in there. Like I can look at it and tell. But then it was like, for example, one night, Kirk and I were talking about the cannibal films.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I told him, because we had talked about Eli Roth's The Green Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that was an homage to a film called
Cannibal Holocaust,
Make Them Die Slowly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you think, now you go back and watch those films, I mean, they had a texture to them. I almost want to say those kind of films had a taste. Mm. Like you'd watch them and they looked and felt grimy.
Yeah.
You know, and almost like you should not be watching this, but your curiosity has gotten the best of you.
Mm-hmm.
And those are movies like, I don't watch those movies anymore. You know, I saw them as a teenager. I remember it burned into my psyche. You know, I attempted once. Yeah. I was like, Human Centipede kept coming up on my feet. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to check this out. I got about as far as when there's a scene in there where he takes a hammer, and that's why I went like this when you mentioned it, and he broke out the people's teeth. I was like, that's it. Click. And I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not that curious to watch this happen to people because it's and I will say the most traumatizing thing I ever saw. And then my dumb ass went back and looked at it again and was like, I should have never done this the second time. Mm-hmm. There was a movie called The Mutilator. But the real name of the film is called Fall Break, which had to do with a group of college students who this kid's father is closing up his summer beach house. Mm-hmm. And he invites his friends to go to close up the beach house. The father has cracked because when the boy was little, he accidentally shot his mother cleaning his father's guns. So the father never forgave him. So he became like this drunk and everything like this. But he had this house. And I think the intention for him was to get the son there so he could kill him. The boy shows up with all these friends. And he starts picking them off. But there's one, and I, to this day, have to wonder, who hurt you this bad to create a sequence where he grabs this girl, throws her down on a table, ties her down, then takes one of those harpoon hooks that they jab in to pull a fish out.
Yeah.
Up the crotch, straight up. And it's not implied, it's shown. And I remember seeing that and I screamed so bad because I was like, what the hell? That was not even impressive to me. I was like, who would think of something? Yeah. And then I watched it years later on Shudder because, you know, you do the, was it as bad as I remember it was? And then I got there. I was like, shouldn't have done this.
Oh,
you know?
Gosh.
So I understand. Oh. There is just, there's a whole subgenre of horror that it's not horror. You know, shock. It's like it's really disturbing.
I mean, the word torture porn come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, all right. So I remember I'm at a dinner party that all of a sudden turns into let's turn on Hostel.
Right.
And Steve's here, so he'll appreciate it and be able to walk us through.
No.
Like literally, those were the words that were spoken, and I'm just kind of
God.
So first of all, as somebody who has to occasionally go in different states, this does nothing for me, like at all.
Yeah.
But like, holy shit! Like, yeah, you know what? And here's what I have realized about myself over the years. It's that, yes, I'm into horror, but I am more into, I guess, moral-based horror. Whereas the werewolf, you know, he changes, kills people, but he feels bad when he wakes up the next day, mm-hmm. like,
right. Okay.
Wait. You mean like an actual story?
Yeah.
You mean like horror that has an actual
character
story
development.
To it.
Character
Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Frankenstein, yeah. Who isn't really trying to hurt anybody, but everybody's hurting him, so he kind of lashes out. He accidentally hurts a child.
Yeah.
You know, and like then there's the old man, the old black. It's like the old school. I hate to say it, but it's like the old school shit is really where I'm stuck, even in terms of Dracula, even though, all right. And here's what's funny, and here's what kind of brings us back to Last Voyage of the Demeter a little bit. Yeah. Because in the book, in the actual literary, you know, Bram Stoker's original thing, and let's also keep in mind, Bram Stoker was on some anti-immigration shit, which took me a minute to catch. Okay, because I'm looking at.
I had no idea. I didn't know about the anti-immigration stuff.
Well, it's not vagrant. It's not flagrant, and because it's not
H.P. Lovecraft.
Right.
Right.
Because it's not flagrant, it became this monolith that, you know, Universal and Hammer Films, you know, it became this thing that different movie houses like kind of like just grabbed onto. But yeah, there definitely is some anti-immigrant shit attached to Dracula. And to be honest with you, I didn't see that until relatively recently as a grown man that's, you know, watching shit and paying attention to shit and kind of keeping myself intellectually aware. But right. I look, because the thing is, as a kid and whatever,
writer, your perspective will be different too.
Yeah.
Right. My my perspective on Dracula was he was an outcast. And that's how Hollywood actually packaged him, as this outcast that women wanted to be with and men, other earthly men needed to kill.
Right. Right.
And all right, fine. So as I progress through life, I understand that. But the truth is, no, but as you know,
I'm frozen. Shit.
No, I see you.
You're good. Yeah. But I'm also seeing how Bram Stoker originally put it together after having multiple conversations with multiple horror enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. And he was as an Irish cat that wasn't, and I guess part of it is he wasn't getting any love. You know,
because he was Irish. Yeah.
No, because he was, well, what did they say in Interview with a Vampire? He was a drunk Irish cat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not criticizing Bram Stoker. It's like,
no, I got what you're saying.
It's like, because he gave us something that at the end of the day, all of us are fucking rocking with. Oh shit, you all froze.
I would pages that are just missing. Love to know what happened. Super curious about that. Yeah.
Exactly.
How do you just not have 200 pages? Yeah.
But the wild thing is that Hollywood kind of turned it into a romance thing. Why? Yeah. Because women need to go to the movies too.
Right.
Men spend more money if they have a date with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true too. People don't like to go by themselves.
1940s. The guy says, if he's going to take a date.
Says every credit card I own. Anyway. no, but Kirk's right. Kirk's 100% right. You can do Jaws.
Like the Six L's, right?
You can do Jaws, for example.
Yeah.
You can do Jaws, which is ultimately three guys going out in a boat to kill a shark, as Mark has now illustrated for us. But at the end of the day, women go to that movie.
Yeah, we do.
And they empathize with Ellen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because let's face it, most women are not married to Quint. Most, right. If they have any sense, most women are not married to Quint.
Nope.
And they're not married to Richard Dreyfuss's character either. They're married to a Chief Brody.
No. I wouldn't marry his ass neither. No.
They are married to Chief Brody.
Give me the guy. Yeah, the main guy.
And when he is put in a situation of extreme fucking jeopardy.
Sort of.
It's like, wait, what the fuck are you doing? Right.
Yeah.
You're going after a 20-ton shark? But wait. How am I supposed to raise these children? I'll be back, honey.
But you know what's crazy? Is the fact that he's a cop. And the whole point of moving to the island was you don't get shot in some back alley in New York City. And you moved out to Amity. And the shark was like, I see thugs and I raise you one. And it's like, you know, and it's like, you're right. You know, women simple. Well, you know, I piggyback on that, like with the story my mother told me about my dad and The Exorcist, because the 70s, that there was a period in the 70s where that whole Antichrist attack against the church, against Catholicism, that was messing a lot of people up, particularly if you were you were church going, you know. I mean, even so far, I know the movie was terrible, but when you think about Abby, the Black Exorcist film, the idea. Because when I read the premise, I was like, what got hold of her? So it's like the pastor's wife gets possessed by a sex demon. I was like, this is, you know, and of course, but in the Black community, that kind of thing, the what's the word you're trying to use?
Promiscuous?
Yes. The pastor's wife? Like, of all people, she's the mother of the church. You know, that ain't supposed to happen, right. But a lot of people got freaked out after, like, you know, if you look at that, I mean, we grew up late 70s, early 80s. So our eyes on The Exorcist were not the same eyes that my parents went in to go see them. So we're looking at it as a pure horror film. And they were looking at it as something completely different, which I can understand. That's what scared them.
Ooh, have you guys seen the trailer for the new one coming out soon?
This is going to be good. Yes, there's another Exorcist. And there's like a black girl and her best friend is white girl. And like, they go into the forest and they disappear for 3 days. It's going to be good. I can hardly wait.
I have mixed feelings about the whole, because, so here's the thing. I guess that's the new thing on exorcism movies. It's, we're going to have multiple people being possessed. And honestly, it probably happened. I want to say there was probably some examples before the Pope's exorcism. The Pope's exorcist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah,
this one with the with the black girl and a white girl simultaneously being possessed. I'm like, okay, so is this y'all way of solving racism? Like, what are we doing?
No, that's a new thing, man. That's a
that did cross my mind. Possession. It did cross my mind.
It's a salt and pepper possession. Nice. You can't have one without the other. It's like cops. Salt and pepper.
Ooh, baby, salt baby. And baby.
Salt baby. Pepper exorcism.
Baby.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Maybe.
I'm just still trying to figure out where, like, Ellen Burstyn comes back, and now she's like a preeminent on exorcisms. I'm like,
she's an expert.
You joined the church? you became,
right.
It's like, okay.
Maybe it's like the Abigail thing with that husband and wife team that are.
Oh, Annabelle, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Annabelle?
Yeah, so I guess mom became like a expert in exorcism and a researcher and an analyst and a whole Ghostbusters without the money.
Okay, thing. But we're joking. We're joking around. But let's be real. Something ruins your life. Mm-hmm. You're going to become an expert in it.
And I don't mean this to be fun.
Something kills your child.
Yep.
Or at least almost kills your child.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to become an expert in it.
Yeah, we're going there.
That's my thought.
I mean, you know, and not even joking, John Walsh.
I was going to say John Walsh.
John Walsh devoted his entire life to catching because of his son
his
Adam.
Son's killer. Yeah.
His son's
because
killer.
Of Adam.
That was a guy, John Hannity.
Yeah.
John Hannity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Black family fucked up his life, and now he has to be like an expert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I get. I'm just curious to know, you know, I guess the background of what it is that she's, like, why they're calling her in particular. Because if this is Pazoo again, I'm like, yo, my man, you got to move on. You call a grudge too damn much, man.
Okay.
you went after Max von Sydow. You know, then you possess poor Father Karras. You know, had him living in an asylum for umpteen years till we found out it wasn't just you, it was you and your boys. Now you're coming back. You know, I'm calling everybody out of retirement.
I took a seminar with Tim Wagoner about, like, how to make your writing better, and it was one really cool thing he said was the things that scare you the most are the things that your parents can't even protect you from. So I think that's why Jaws is so scary, because your dad can't even, like, protect you from the shark.
Mm-hmm.
In Poltergeist, the mom and dad, they still can't protect you from, like, the spirits in the house. Those are like Carol Ann. They can't protect you either.
All right.
So I was trying to kind of keep that in mind.
Guys,
I mean, it's not all horror. Not all horror.
But in Poltergeist, the parents fucked up.
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
Don't buy the house on some fucking Indian burial ground shit.
Although, actually, you can't blame him for that because he didn't know that. He didn't find out until the end when the dude came up and he goes, "Oh, you removed the headstone, but you never moved."
Because remember when
he took him on the hill, he was like, "We did it before. Yeah. We did it down there where you live." And that's when it was like, "Oh, so now that explains why all these crotchety, angry ghosts."
Moved the headstone.
The angry ghost. The angry ghost.
So like the demon, your mom can't save you from the demon. Yeah. Scary stuff.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it's obviously other levels of horror for sure. That's just one of them. That was really cool.
So speaking of not being able to save us from demons, let's pivot to politics for a hot second. Let me just look. I just want to dance for like a quick 10 minutes just because we're here, we're all together, and we managed to keep a fairly decent signal together while I'm in a hotel room in fucking Jersey City. And thank you, Weston, for kind of taking care of this. Anyway, so Trump, we've got... You know what? Actually, you know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about how fucking Jim Jordan trying to fuck with Fanny Willis.
Oh, yeah.
She's a pop doll.
Wrote a 9-page fuck you letter.
9 pages. Which,
like, honestly, I'm almost ready. And I'm not even trying to get married necessarily, but I would marry Fannie Willis in a hot minute. Like, oh my fucking God. The way she no-sunned him. I can't. That's my version of black girl magic. I mean, I get it. There's other shit going on. Dominic Wills and I got a lot of shit going on. But oh my God, Fannie Willis in her 9-page letter, fuck you letter to Jim Jordan. That's my political highlight of the week. I don't know if anybody has anything else they need to like pinpoint or what have you, but sweet Jesus Christ.
I'm gonna piggyback off that because apparently last night in this conversation, I was not aware that I was being stared down for my comments, to which my wife was like, "We're about to fight because if this dude says two words to you, I'm gonna beat the hell out of him."
What happened?
I will tell you what happened. I was on the subway. And we were having a conversation about the fact that not only Fannie Willis did the old fuck you to Jim Jordan, but then she put a foot in it by basically in the document saying, you know, we could actually get shit done if people, when they get subpoenaed, show up for their depositions. Like, I don't know, Lindsey Graham. Who held us up, and that was the thing. And then she piggybacked by releasing the list of people who they were going to indict. And at the top of the list was Lindsey Graham. So apparently there was a white man across from me who was a Lindsey Graham fan who was feeling some kind of way about my conversation, which I did not know he was listening to. And he was making eyes at me, to which my wife was making eyes at him, to which when he caught that, I guess he was like, "I don't want that smoke." So it kept his mouth. So he kept his mouth shut. Mm-hmm. But all that to say, she was winning this week because basically, she put out a list of everybody that they were going to indict, but didn't. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why, I guess it was like literally like to indict him really didn't make any sense because he, I guess whatever part he played wasn't at the behest of Trump. He did this on his own, calling himself, mm-hmm. I'm going to help you out. So to drag him in there and then have to deal with A, B, C, and D. Mm-hmm. It's that and your boy getting booed at the Iowa State football
game. Yeah.
Yes. He got straight booed.
Which the only thing that was missing from that, the only thing that would have made that great is to have him there and a sea of boos, and then you just hear Obama's voice go, "Don't boo, vote,
vote."
Don't boo,
boo,
boo.
But apparently, yeah, those were the two outstanding pieces of work for me this week, including her 9-page.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And the fact that she told Jim Jordan, if you need to learn about the RICO Act, there's a book you could read. She said, you can get it for $250. But you know, because attorneys get it for free.
Oh, free? Shit.
Free.
Basically telling him you can buy it because you're not an attorney. Shots were fired.
Shots fired.
Eagles were hurt.
Egos were hurt. Wow.
The last, as far as politics go, the last thing I'm going to hit on is something that really fucking disturbed me. And I don't know if we didn't discuss this in pregame, but it's occurring to me now. So there was one point where the Ukraine was, you know, they launched an attack, and apparently Elon Musk, because he shut off a satellite, he fucked that up. And right, Ukraine, Russia, they're at war. So the Ukraine had a mining or a missile attack or whatever. Either way, it didn't work out for them because of this one particular satellite that got shut off by Elon Musk.
Oh, no.
So they couldn't triangulate the targets.
Right. What's bothersome about that is that, so I read that article like, 3 days ago, and now I'm reading these articles about how the Ukraine is like, their efforts have now been rendered hopeless because of X, Y, and Z. And because here's the thing. Here's the ultimate thing that really bothers me about this is that Russia is with it has been tied together with the full-blown racist part of the Republican Party, which is, you know, as far as I can see, outside of Adam Kissinger and Liz Cheney and maybe a couple of other people, it's most of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. You know, as I kind of said, and I know what I said a couple of weeks ago may come across to some people as conspiracy theory shit, but I'm still of a mind that the reason John McCain lost to Obama is because, short version, he wasn't racist enough. And, you know, take that for what you want. Take that for what Mitt Romney, again, not racist enough. There is a certain part of this population that basically, until Trump activated them, was willing to sit aside because they didn't feel represented. And I know that it is some, that is some incredibly nihilistic shit to say. I know it's not like I'm listening to myself, but at the same time, here we are, and we literally have to kind of look at the situation where we've got Joe Biden. And okay, you know what, maybe he's not, look, I met Vice President Biden a couple of years ago. He seemed fine to me. I did the late night, you know, I'm stage managing shit. One of the things I stage managed a few years ago was the late night with Seth Meyers trip to DC. Where, you know, Jill and Joe, they come out, they talk to Seth. And I mean, granted, I ain't getting no, I'm stage managing, so I ain't in no deep, serious conversation, whatever. But we talked, you know, and he seemed fairly cognizant. And all right, so fine. It's a couple years ago. I it's like the struggle of trying to explain to people. Yeah, okay, yes, he signed a crime bill, that real fucked up crime bill back in the 90s. When we had the crack epidemic. And, you know, we had all that shit going on. And yes, that was wrong of him. That was wrong of the country. Because at the end of the day, first of all, the drug shouldn't have been here in the first place.
Right.
And y'all shouldn't have turned it into, let's just put niggas in jail. Period. There were other ways to handle all of that. However, we are in a different place now. And now Joe Biden is literally the harmless uncle. And Trump, and the three of you, if you don't agree with this, please say something. But I feel like there is a huge, huge difference between letting a harmful entity be president as opposed to even if he is completely ineffective on certain levels as president, at least the marginalized communities of this country can tiptoe, can get a check, can survive, can feed children. I don't feel like, and granted, yes, people got shot by the cops when Obama was president. Get that.
Trayvon Martin.
And it. Yes, I understand it. But at the end of the day, there is a difference between an incompetent friend and a harmful enemy. That's my thought on it. If you know, and we have to start focusing, because we still got motherfuckers that are getting all it, from our communities, from communities of color, that are getting worked up about trans shit and LGBTQ and we're worked up about all this other stuff that's ultimately not, they're not redlining us, they're not like preventing us from getting loans. Like these other marginalized communities that ultimately do not hurt the Black community. And if you and I swear to God, if y'all need to disagree with that, let me like go ahead and say, but I we are as a country, we are so fucked up in this whole, like we've got a certain amount of the populace that's brainwashed by Fox News, that's in this whole other space, doesn't want to acknowledge the fact that this country was built on the backs of basically a native population that faced a genocide, and Black people who built this shit up off of slavery. Like we wanna skip over all of that and just kind of get to this. And I don't even understand why we can't just acknowledge this sacrifice, acknowledge the sins. And so here's the thing. I'm not necessarily expecting reparations. Reparations would be nice. No, I'm not. I would. I would love a big old check to just land in my lap, you know, and whatever. But you know, it's like for me, it's not even necessarily about that. For me, it's just get the fuck out of my way. Anyway, I went on a rant, and I'm sorry. So,
don't apologize.
Somebody jump in, please.
Apologize at all. Right. one of the proud boys. He got like 17 years or 19 years in
22.
Torrio. That is awesome.
Afro-Cuban, the Afro-Cuban organizer, head of the Proud Boys.
Head of the Proud Boys. 22.
And so years. There's a little bit of irony of the Afro-Cuban getting 22 and then everybody else getting... No.
But all right.
As I said at the beginning of the week, he gonna be Black today. Because he didn't think he was, and they let him know. Oh no, this works. But apparently, he's been to jail before, and he's been known to roll on people to get his sentences reduced. So that's what he's going to end up doing anyway.
Isn't that cute?
Because if you know Beaumont, you know ain't no. And wait, he gonna do no 22 years. It's gonna be a case of him or me.
fuck. Okay. Wow.
You know what? I said something a few years ago, and I stand by this. Trump was the best thing that ever happened to this country.
What?
And I'll tell you why. We fell asleep at
me. All right, I remember when you said this. Mixed feelings.
Hold on. This is why. We fell asleep at the wheel. We got complacent, and we did not think that just like in New York City, the rats are underneath the surface of the ground. And until you start digging, you're going to pretend that they're not there. And we pretended that these people did not exist because they themselves felt they had no voice.
Okay.
The second, think about this. The second he became president, what happened? First, when he tried the Muslim ban, All of a sudden, we were all brothers.
Mm.
Now, I've known some Muslim folks that have stores in our neighborhood who treat us like crap.
Mm-hmm.
But on that day,
oh, no.
We had to all of a sudden, everybody became under attack.
Mm-hmm.
Women became under attack.
Yeah.
Muslims became under attack. And everybody's standing around going, I don't understand what just happened. I'm like, this has been brewing for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And because nobody brought it to the surface, y'all just acted like it wasn't there. They've been trying to get rid of Roe versus Wade for 50 years.
Man.
True.
50 years they were trying at it. And what we realize, it's just like the folks now that tell me my vote doesn't count. Really? Because it's about it doesn't matter why they mm-hmm. like working so hard to make sure that you can't do it.
Right.
You know, we've had opportunities in this country to try